Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Turning Towards Life with Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. It's Sunday morning, and we're here again, Lizzie, for the 198th time.
Oh my goodness.
So welcome to you, and welcome to me, and welcome to everyone, all of you who are with us. We know that there are many people who watch and join us in the conversation live in our Facebook group, which is Turning Towards Life, which everyone is welcome to join. And you can just search for us and ask to join, and we will gladly welcome you there. Or maybe you're listening on the podcast version of this a little bit later, or maybe you're watching on Instagram or on YouTube or on our very lovely turningtowards.life website. Welcome to everyone. I'm feeling so joyful doing this again another week, Lizzie, which is I always do, and particularly this week, because once again you've chosen for us something beautiful and extraordinary, which is also written by someone we know and care about very much. So I'm not going to say any more about that. I'm going to let you tell us about this week's source and all that.
Thanks, Justin. Hello, everybody, and I can't believe it's 198 weeks, Justin. That's so cool. This source for today is by the lovely Beth Rookwood. And you might remember, if you were here a few weeks ago, or maybe it was only a couple of weeks ago, we had a poem by Kate, who was in the same group of people coming through our year-long program as Beth. And both of them have given us permission to bring these poems. And these poems, I think, got born in around the same time, at the kind of culmination of the year of togetherness that we've been in, of learning together. And after Kate's poem, I thought, my gosh, you know, the things that are getting made here are amazing. Why don't I go into our online community and see if anybody else is writing poems? And Beth's poem spoke to me. And I'm quite amazed, Justin, that the kind of creative outpourings that happen in our community. And it's such a wonderful source for us to bring forth, and to also honor those people who, like Beth and Kate, who are writing in this way, and say, more please and thank you. And how moving it is to read these words, and how much they matter, these words as well. So Beth, if you're listening to us, thank you. And I wonder what it will be like, as Justin and I have felt so many times, like when we bring our own work and it gets read back to us and then we talk about it, it even takes on further life than it had before inside of us. Like, it becomes our teacher in a different way. So we hope this is also a gift to you, Beth, that you receive your work, your love made manifest in this poem, that you receive it in a beautiful way as well, in addition to how you've received it before. So here we go. It goes like this. It's called If You Sit Long Enough by Beth Rookwood. If you sit long enough and still, the birds will come and you will see that the world you thought was all yours to carry alone has only a veil between it and all the other worlds. The birds know this, and delight to draw your gaze and ignite your heart by pulling back the curtain and modeling what it is to live and build and feed and grow, trusting that all you will ever need has already been provided. Possessing such wisdom, why wouldn't you sing and shout and show off your colors in loopy flights and try for the millionth time to dance on an acorn?
Thank you, Lizzie. And thank you, Beth. And I'm going to read this as well. And I'm going to say something, just finding the text here, that we've often said, Lizzie, when we're reading at this point of every week of Turning Towards Life, where we're reading the source that the conversation is going to flow off from. And it's an invitation to you and to me, and also to everyone who's with us. So if you're with us, you might want to do this, particularly given Beth's poem, which is just to pause for a moment. And it might be that you're listening to this whilst you're out walking or pottering around the house, or, you know, not sitting busy like you and I are, but even just sitting here, just to take a moment to let yourself feel what it's like to be you, what it's like to be here, and have Beth's words land in the midst of that. If you sit long enough and still, the birds will come. And you will see that the world you thought was all yours to carry all alone has only a veil between it and all the other worlds. The birds know this and delight to draw your gaze and ignite your heart by pulling back the curtain and modeling what it is to live and build and feed and grow, trusting that all you will ever need has already been provided. Possessing such wisdom, why wouldn't you sing and shout and show off your colours in loopy flights and try for the millionth time to dance on an acorn?
Thank you for that invitation, Justin. And I find myself kind of transported into sitting there, being witness to this happening, and feel so much of an invitation to welcome this wisdom of alreadiness, providedness. And I'm so moved by the feeling of the birds trusting that that's true. And the action that's taken from that is to live, to build, to feed and grow. And somehow it brings a kind of grounded simplicity to what a life might be. You know, I find myself often in complexity, and that's, you know, part of life. And when the complexity ramps up, this is the kind of poem that I need to keep me on the straight and narrow of my own inner discipline of committing to simpleness, committing to ease, committing to naturalness, committing to breathing, watching, opening my eyes. So when Beth talks about the veil between this and the other worlds and how these words make it possible to entertain that that veil can be lifted, and to know that all these multiple worlds that we belong in and make all the time, that they are worlds that we make rather than something I am powerlessly subject to. And so this feels like a huge big shard of light that comes in where there's like a gap in my assumptions, a gap in my thinking things are absolute, like a shakedown that lets something else come in here, even if it's just a breath, you know, something else other than the kind of everydayness that keeps me hypnotized into thinking things are just the way that they are. And so I feel really breathed into and made spacious by these words. And I'm also really moved by the kind of, so if this is true, why wouldn't I try a millionth time to dance on an acorn? Like the culmination of it, the result of it all, is a joyful continuation of doing something hard and joyful and ordinary and impossible, because for the sake of dancing on an acorn, the simplicity of this feels like a kind of a deep relief. You know, I can feel myself able to let things go here. I can feel myself refinding some simple ground that's human and ordinary, and just what's right in front of me is enough.
I'm really enjoying the feel and the of hearing you speak about this, Lizzie, and it's striking me right now that what you're saying in response to Beth's invitation is what also we've been, you and I have been practicing here all these 190, I just lost count, 8 weeks of seeing if we can settle ourselves enough and open ourselves enough that whatever's right here will come. And there's one of the things that happened for me in I feel so joyful hearing and reading Beth's words. And I think one of the reasons I feel joyful, aside from their beauty and aside from appreciating Beth and the kind of person that she is feeling again how much of the time I think a lot of us do, that the habitual way that we easily fall into is something is missing and I must strive to get it. And of course, in some ways, often that's true. Like I need to work in order to have the resources I need to be able to feed me and my family, or I need, you know, the in one way, it's a basic condition of the world that we have to act in order to bring about things, to create things, to make things, to grow things, to. But I notice how much that orientation is a taken for granted background, fearful orientation that can easily arise in my body, which is something is always missing, something is always missing. I need to get it. And that very easily becomes the dominant, my body can do that and my mind will flow. And then sitting in the way, because I notice, because I have a sitting quietly practice, that sitting the way that Beth talks about, the things I notice that when I've been that way, I'll sit down somewhere quiet and it won't immediately be anything like Beth says. It will be sort of a kind of desperation, like, I can't be here. Why am I here? Some part of me will be doing all of that. So on Friday, I went and sat in a very quiet, very beautiful piece of woodland near where I live, and I did what Beth said. So I sat long enough and still. And a grass snake came out of the undergrowth, and I don't know what the verb is for what snakes do, but snaked its way past my feet. I've never seen a snake in this country before. It was one of the most beautiful, beautiful creatures I've ever seen. Elegant and graceful, other. And I know that had I not been sitting in the way that Beth invited, I would not have seen that. And I stayed very still so it could just do its thing, and it was around for quite a long time before it went off. Wasn't afraid. And I realized at the time, and maybe because Beth's words were already around and in me as well, that the same is true for everything. It doesn't take, yes, of course, a grass snake that I haven't seen can come out of the background and do its thing. But when I sit quietly and long enough, the world comes forward to meet me in ways that, so I think this is how this happens in life, is that the world comes forward to meet us depending upon the way in which we're orienting and relating to the world. So, well, if I'll open myself to what's already here and still myself enough to receive, I see things and I feel things and I know things that I can't from the desperate, I've got to make something happen. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the way I understand this distinction in these words of, you'll see that the world you thought was all yours to carry all alone has only a veil between it and all the other worlds. There is so much here bringing itself to us all the time. So I know that when I live from the part of me that is frightened and desperate and thinks that something has to happen all the time and that's the only way I have to make it happen and it's mine to do, then the possibility of singing and shouting, showing off my colours in loopy flights and dancing on acorns is very, very far from me. That way of being in life is never available from there.
Mm.
because it's too risky to be there. And it's too, so my, the world gets way smaller. And these words are an invitation into something vast that's always here, but it's always waiting for us to play our part. It won't come until we play our part in allowing it to come forward.
Yes. That's so clear, Justin. Such a beautiful way of speaking about the way we bring ourselves to life. Has life show up the way that life can show up? And just on it, it just got me thinking about really practical things, like I could wash the dishes with my fists clenched and my teeth clenched and feeling like someone else should be doing it, or angry that someone stacked the plates in a certain way, and the dishes would get done. So the result would be that the dishes are clean. And I could also do the dishes as if I was dancing and watching my hands move and feeling my body having its agency and gently moving one plate from one side of the sink to the other and putting things down and encountering my body and my breath. And the result would be the same, but the way that I did it would be completely different. So, you know, you were saying about how, you know, that's the nature of the world, is that, you know, we're called to act, like to do things. But acting isn't one way. It's a thousand trillion ways to achieve the same thing. We can bring ourselves in all these different ways. And then in the process of the doing, in the process of the acting, the world will be made in a different way, with different intention, with different, a different nervous system, with a different set of emotions or feelings while we're doing it. The result of the dishes being clean might be the same, but whether I suffered the process or whether I enjoyed the process or whether I was fulfilled by the process or whether I hated the process, like that's within my capacity and opportunity to make some conscious declarations about what I want my life to be like, or what kind of world I would like to show up. So if I want a world where what Beth is talking about is possible, how do I need to bring myself to the thing that's in front of me, or to the person that's in front of me? What practice do I need to have, or what inquiry do I need to be in? What questions do I need to be asking myself in order that the life that I would like to be mine could show up? Because there's probably all kinds of ways that I'm acting, that I'm taking action, that invite and create a world that is one I don't want. And so when I could get clear on that, maybe there is some alignment that can happen, where I can really intentionally bring myself in a different way to the same thing, to see how the world might show up differently from it. Because I think there's also a point where I certainly kind of get bored of doing, like bored with myself, of doing the thing that I do all the time, the same way again and again and again, and getting the same result again and again. I think, my God, here I am again. I'm doing the same thing again in the same way again. What would be another way that could bring about something different, that could bring about something that brought me some relief? So when I see the same opportunity arising, I can take the opportunity. And what if I brought myself in a different way? And that goes for, like, you know, having an argument with someone, or doing bath time, or writing a document, or doing a piece of work. It feels like the whole world of opportunity opens up when I think that there could be a different way. Not that the thing has to be different, not that the circumstances all have to change for everything to be okay. It's not that thing. It's like, not in this moment, it's not like I'm seeing that I have to rearrange my life or something. but then my life could stay exactly the way that it is, but the way I engaged could be different, and therefore a different world could open up. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe the circumstances could change. But I mean, I know the dishes are all going to still need to be done. You know, there's a kind of an everydayness part that is most of my life, really, if I think about it. It's not like huge big events happen or something. It's feels to me like life is a lot of it is everydayness. And so in that everydayness, if new worlds could be made, to use Beth's language of all these worlds, you know, what would a world of dancing be like versus a world of resentfully grappling? And those two things producing the same something, but being a wholly different experience for me.
Gosh, there's so much in here, Lizzie. I'm so glad you're talking about and seeing this in a new depth. And I'm glad we're talking about washing the dishes. Yeah. Because there's something, when you said, as if, this distinction you make between, you could be washing the dishes, and all of us have some version of this that we have to do. If it's not washing the dishes, it'll be some other ordinary everyday something. And you said that how different it would be to come at it. There are so many ways you could bring yourself to washing the dishes. You could come resentfully. You could come as if it was a dance. I am loving the idea of dancing with the dishes. I mean, I'm really loving it. What if the dishes were my dance partner? What if the other people around, we were all dance partners with the dishes whilst we did it? And the thing that felt really important for me to say, I suppose years ago when I first heard people talk this way, I could tell that there was something that wasn't accurate about it, that you've resolved in the way you're talking. When people talk about, we see the world through filters, there's a very common sort of psychological kind of language. You've got filters on the world, and if you could drop your filter, then... And I don't think it's like that at all. I don't think that we have filters that if we drop them, I'll suddenly see the real situation with the dishes. Because the real situation with the dishes actually is being made. It's not a state of the world. Like, I mean, there are dishes, yes, basic stuff. Mm-hmm. There's dishes and there's water and whatever. But actually everything else, the whole, the way that we're in relationship with whatever it is we're in, is being made by us. It's being made by us in relationship to the dishes. So as I wash the dishes, and as I pick each one up, and as I move my body, and as I let myself feel what it's like, and as I bring myself with intent, and as it evokes memories and connections for me, and as I, all of that is a whole way of being in relationship with this act of washing the dishes. And I could feel, as you were speaking, that to dance, to come and say, I'm dancing now, would have my body move in a completely, I really like washing the dishes, but if I'm doing something I really don't want to do, I can feel my body tightens, my shoulders droop, my jaw tightens, I get caught in there, why am I having to do this, and I ought to be doing something else, all of that, I close down. So to enter into the possibility of being in that act in the way that the birds are, singing and igniting in my heart and being in loopy flight and everything. So I can already feel how my whole bodily engagement with the world, with what I'm up to, with the ordinary everyday, can be different if I'm prepared to say, I'll do this as if. I will imagine, I will conjure up in a way, but then act into a possibility for myself. Well, like, am I going to be the resentful one, or am I going to be the dancing one here? And that doesn't drop filters, like the dishes were dancing all the time. The dishes weren't dancing all the time, but they always had the possibility that they might meet me in that way if I would meet them in that way. And we can step into, and this is, so this little trio of lines near the start of Beth's poem, because there's only a veil between this world and all the other worlds. To see what I'm seeing now is that veil is... The veil is parted because of our willingness to act as if, to be the one who's still long enough and to see what's here in the world, or to pay attention, or to love. I was thinking about What is it to just to love, to commit to loving whatever I'm in the middle of, or to feeling the fullness of it? Because I might be in the midst of grief, or it's not, I knew you didn't mean this and I don't mean this, not in some let's brush away everything that's here, but more like, can we include everything that's here? Can I dance with the dishes and my grief and my longing and my joy and the fact that there are bills to be paid and that somebody I love is in the garden? And can I dance with all of that as opposed to clam up with all of it? And then this other world comes forth that was always here, but wasn't here. It was waiting, but could never exist until I participated. And it's not like it's happening without my participation. And then, as you said, the washing the dishes becomes different. And it's also possible, and it's, in fact, I actually think it's quite likely, that when we engage in the world in this sense of as if, like, another world is here, can I be a participant in it, then things do change. And even with washing the dishes, it's quite probable that I'll wash them better, I'll be much more, have much more fun and joy washing them, and that will carry on into some conversation I have. I don't know what it's like for you, but if I've been doing something resentfully and the next person I speak to is probably going to be caught up in that world, so it's going to shift relationships. And it probably will change all kinds of things at the same time, as the point of it is not changing all kinds of things. The point of it is simply doing this thing that humans can do, which is to be one who lets other worlds come forward.
Yeah. The thing that I thought might change, Justin, is that I might not leave the dishes to build up for so long. Because I like it, because it's an enjoyable thing to dance with the dishes. So maybe I then don't have this huge big pile of dishes that makes me feel intimidated and therefore invokes in me the kind of overwhelm and then resentment, because maybe it would be a flow. So it's like a subtle thing. It's like, maybe it's not that there wouldn't ever be any dishes. Well, it's definitely not that there wouldn't be any dishes to wash. Like, it's not gonna change in that way. But the situation changes because of the way that I bring myself to it, for sure. And it's just a really lovely kind of ordinary and simple way of addressing this thing. You know, you said about the filters versus what we're bringing to something makes it what it is. It feels so clear when you said it, that we're making this up as we go. We actually are making it up. And I don't mean we're conjuring something out of nothing when I say that, but we are making our world by the way that we're being in the worlds that we're in. So I'm just really grateful for this simplified feel of the way that life is. And I'm really grateful for Beth for bringing this poem and for where it's brought us. And thank you, Justin, as always, for this kind of way that we get into it and the ordinariness of it at the same time as the importance of it, of the conversation. So thank you. And we're going to be back next Sunday. And just to say thank you again all for being here, for letting this be in your lives, for letting the conversation participate with whatever other conversations that you're already in with yourself. And we'll be back next week for our normal Turning Towards Life at 9 a.m. on Facebook. And if you're listening elsewhere, we know that you'll listen wherever you are, whatever you're doing, with the podcast and the website and everything. So thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Lizzie, and thank you, Beth, and thank you, everyone. Bye bye.